The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bonjour, hi, Canada, on this Monday, September the 28th, from inside the Beltway. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Get up, get going. It's a great week. It was a terrific weekend. Amy Coney Barrett was nominated by the president to be the next Supreme Court justice. The Cleveland Browns won. The Cleveland Indians made it to the playoffs and indeed have the home field advantage, meeting the Yankees in the best of three beginning Tuesday night, and we have debate week. So what a great weekend. Mostly Judge Barrett. Wow. I made a recommendation to the president. It wasn't Judge Barrett. Doesn't matter. He doesn't follow my recommendations very often. I wanted to avoid the whole anti-Catholic thing, which broke out. We'll come to that in a moment. First, let's hear from the president announcing Judge Barrett on Saturday in the Rose Garden with her husband and seven kids in attendance. Cut number 10.
Now we gather in the Rose Garden to continue our never-ending task of ensuring equal justice and preserving the impartial rule of law. Today it is my honor to nominate one of our nation's most brilliant and gifted legal minds to the Supreme Court. She is a woman of unparalleled achievement, towering intellect, sterling credentials, and unyielding loyalty to the Constitution, Judge Amy Coney Barrett.
Or as she is now known, ACB, Amy Coney Barrett, is now the Associate Justice Designee. Judge Barrett spoke for a moment. Cut number 14.
The president has asked me to become the ninth justice. And as it happens, I'm used to being in a group of nine, my family. Our family includes me, my husband, Jesse, Emma, Vivian, Tess, John Peter, Liam, Juliet, and Benjamin. Vivian and John Peter, as the president said, were born in Haiti, and they came to us 5 years apart when they were very young. And the most revealing fact about Benjamin, our youngest, is that his brothers and sisters unreservedly identify him as their favorite sibling. Our children obviously make our life very full. While I am a judge, I'm better known back home as a room parent, carpool driver, and birthday party planner. When schools went remote last spring, I tried on another hat. Jesse and I became co-principals of the Barrett E-Learning Academy. And yes, the list of enrolled students was a very long one. Our children are my greatest joy, even though they deprive me of any reasonable amount of sleep. I couldn't manage this very full life without the unwavering support of my husband, Jesse. At the start of our marriage, I imagined that we would run our household as partners. As it has turned out, Jesse does far more than his share of the work. To my chagrin, I learned at dinner recently that my children consider him to be the better cook. For 21 years, Jesse has asked me every single morning what he can do for me that day. And though I almost always say nothing, he still finds ways to take things off my plate. And that's not because he has a lot of free time. He has a busy law practice. It's because he is a superb and generous husband, and I am very fortunate.
Here is Judge Barrett, also in the Rose Garden, speaking about her judicial philosophy after she paid respects to Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, as did the president, and to her mentor, Justice Scalia. Judge Barrett said this, cut 13.
I clerked for Justice Scalia more than 20 years ago, but the lessons I learned still resonate. His judicial philosophy is mine, too. A judge must apply the law as written. Judges are not policymakers, and they must be resolute in setting aside any policy views they might hold.
So, how did the left react? Bill Maher, Friday night, HBO, cut number 3.
But apparently the pick is going to be this Amy Comey. We'll all be saying this name a lot, I'm sure, because she's nut. Religion. I was right about that one, too. Amy Comey Barrett, Catholic, really Catholic. I mean really, really Catholic, like speaking in tongues. Like she doesn't believe in condoms, which is what she has in common with Trump, because he doesn't either.
The word we bleeped out cannot be aired over the radio. It begins with F and ends in G. Amy, let's hear Bill again at the beginning. We'll cut it off so you can hear the bleep. Cut 3.
But apparently the pick is going to be this Amy Comey. We'll all be saying this name a lot, I'm sure, because she's nut.
Okay, right there says she's up blank nut. We cut it out for you. Meanwhile, Nicole Wallace on MSNBC entered into the fray, cut 17.
Information came out about her time and her relationship with a Christian organization called People of Praise. Now, this is some of what we know about that group and some of what was scrutinized last time she was evaluated. Members of the group People of Praise swear a lifelong oath of loyalty called a covenant to one another and are assigned and are held accountable to a personal advisor called a head for men and a handmaid for women. The group teaches that husbands are the heads of their wives and should take authority over the family. Because of the rush that Donald Trump feels, Neal Katyal, because of the way this process is so condensed, these sorts of things become part of our coverage, even on the day of a ceremony in the Rose Garden.
Now, this anti-Catholicism should not be the part of anybody's coverage. It is constitutionally prohibited. Senators cannot bring it up. But, of course, senators did bring it up in 2017. Dianne Feinstein saying this, cut number 1.
When you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you.
All right, that's a completely objectionable and roundly condemned, as it should have been, remarked. Dick Durbin, himself a Catholic, said this in 2017, cut number 2.
A religious belief, and it is relevant in that you have many times spoken out as a professor and as a lawyer about the burden and opportunity presented by your faith. This article of 20 years ago, which you wrote with John Garvey, as I understand it, you now say you don't agree with. Is that correct?
No, Senator Durbin. I agree with the article's main point, as I said, which is that any kind of conviction, religious or otherwise, should never surpass the law. A judge can never follow or impose that judge's personal conviction upon litigants in the decision of cases. And that was the article's main point, and I agree with it. Would I, sitting here today, write that article the same way or say that it's an exact mirror image of how I would feel now, 20 years older? No. I mean, but at the thrust of it, that core point, which restates 28 U.S.C. 455's ethical obligation, I obviously, as every judge would, adhere to.
So let me ask you this question. I'm a product of 19 years of Catholic education, and every once in a while, Holy Mother, the Church has not agreed with a vote of mine and has let me know. You use a term in that article, or you both use a term in that article I'd never seen before. You refer to Orthodox Catholics. What's an Orthodox Catholic?
As I recall, that term, we said something like, for lack of a better term, we're using the term Orthodox Catholic, and there was a long footnote saying, you know, that that was an imperfect term. It could, you know, refer to Orthodox Judaism, you know, Greek Orthodox. And so we kind of cast about, but what that term was designed to capture, because we were talking about conscientious objection, was a judge who accepted the church's teaching that the death penalty would be impermissible in that case. We wrote about it from the perspective of a Catholic judge because my professor, John Garvey, had already undertaken that project. But it's really a problem that could face a judge of any religion or no religion at all who had a conscientious objection to the death penalty.
Do you consider yourself an Orthodox Catholic?
I am a Catholic, Senator Durbin. I don't, Orthodox Catholic, we kind of, as I said in that article, we just kind of use that as a proxy. It is not, to my knowledge, you know, a term currently in use. But if you're asking whether I take my faith seriously and I'm a faithful Catholic, I am, although I would stress that my personal church affiliation or my religious belief would not bear on the discharge of my duties as a judge.
So Dick Durbin, Senator Dianne Feinstein, Senator Bill Maher, television host Nicole Wallace, television host, all on the first day of her nomination made her religion an issue. The senators may not do so. They're constitutionally prohibited. The anchors ought not to. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. The 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway. Let me check the markets from Friday, brought to you by our friends at Birch Gold. Text my name, Hugh, to 474747 if you want information on investing in physical metals with your 401k, your IRA. Do not do more than 10 to 25%. You do not have a gold bug here. You have someone who believes in either owning it yourself, and Birch Gold will help you with that if you go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747, or move part of your retirement into an asset that is as stable as any of them. Gold this morning, by the way, is at $1,858. It's down $150, or pretty much 10% since I bought in. I always buy in low or high, but it doesn't matter because I never sell it. And the fact of the matter is, you ought to look at it as something not to follow day by day, but as something to put away as an anchor, because that's what it is. It's an anchor when stormy times arise that they have had. I tell my kids, 4 times in my 40 years of being an investor, I started probably at age 21, 22, the markets have collapsed, but not gold ever. And so be prepared. About every 10 years, the market has a collapse, and you just have to be ready for it and weather it. On Friday, the Dow was up 358 points. The NASDAQ was up 241 points. The S&P was up 51 points. Overseas this morning, everything is green, and I mean green. In Germany, it's up 2.7%. In England, it's up 1.4%. I think they must be betting on a vaccine. I can't understand this otherwise. The 10-year Treasury remains at 0.66, but it's a great day for gold. I don't know how the U.S. market's going to do today. I'm never predicting of that. Amazon on Friday, it's the proxy for the tech sector, was up $75 on Friday, having a very good day for Amazon. Leverage, the only stock I own is Amazon, and mostly mutual funds and other investments, but not, I don't pick stocks except one at a time because I'm not smart enough. But you should be smart enough to have some gold. Let me now play the president talking about disgraceful attacks on Judge Amy Coney Barrett, cut number 36.
We have noticed some comments made in the media about my incredibly qualified nominee, Amy. The New York Times said her religion is not consistent with American values. She's Catholic. It covers a lot of people. It's a very disgraceful thing to say. Some of the comedians, I don't think they're comedians because comedians are supposed to be funny. They're not funny, like, at all. They're nasty, they're mean, and they think they're funny. And someday, hopefully it's in 5 years, but someday when I'm not here, they're going to be off television because their ratings, which aren't very good anyway, but their ratings are going to go down like you've never seen before. That includes a lot of others also. In fact, I'm sort of waiting for the New York Times and the Washington Post, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSDNC. I'm waiting for them to endorse me, because if they don't, they're going to drop with a thud. Like, you know, it was supposed to have happened long ago, and then we won a race, and it was a great victory, and I think we've never had a more energized base. I don't think so. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. The rallies that we're having are incredible. We call them protests. They're friendly protests. We don't want to call them rallies, but friendly protest rallies have been incredible. People, I don't think anybody's ever seen anything like it. And this is still long before an election. This isn't like the evening before. These are long before an election. The incredible crowd we had in Pennsylvania and Virginia, in every state, no matter where, North Carolina.
He's right. The Trump electorate is very energized, and he's right that the press was pretty disgusting about Amy Coney Barrett. But Judge Barrett will be fine. My caution to you is to just pray for her. Keep track of who attacks her. The hard left despises her. The Democratic Party shelters some of the anti-religious bigotry that we've seen and doesn't call it out. Now, remember, Joe Biden is Catholic. Nancy Pelosi is Catholic. Dick Durbin is Catholic. But even they can fall afoul of the Article 6 prohibition on religious tests, as Dick Durbin did in the clip I played in the last segment. You're not allowed to ask a nominee about their religion. It's in the Constitution. It's in Article 6. The framers understood that will destroy a country if you allow people to be allowed in or kept out of government based on their religion. I wrote an entire book about this when Mitt Romney ran for president in 2008. I wrote it in 2006. I've taught Article 6 for 25 years. It's the most important thing in the Constitution when it comes to religion, which is we shall not have a religious test. Don't forget it. Keep track of who breaks it. They're almost always Democrats. Stay tuned, America. It's the You Do It Show. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway, talking about Judge Amy Coney Barrett. She's going to be the next Supreme Court Justice. Senator Lindsey Graham has scheduled the hearings to begin on October 13th. I think that's a mistake, but Lindsey knows his business. I'm not the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I wouldn't let him tell me how to produce my show, so I guess I'm not going to tell him how to produce the hearings. I just fear that the Democrats will put a torpedo in the water late. But Lindsey is doing a stand-up job defending the nominee, and so I want you to support Lindsey Graham, who needs to be reelected in South Carolina. And I'd like to hear from you what you think about ACB, 1-800-520-1234. Senator Tom Cotton, friend of the show, went on CNN with Jake Tapper yesterday, cut 24.
Judge Amy Coney Barrett is an outstanding jurist, one of the finest legal minds of her generation. So I commend the president for yet another excellent nomination to the federal courts. I look forward to voting for Judge Barrett. The Senate will confirm her to the highest court in the land next month.
And then Tom went on to talk about this with Jake, cut 25.
Yeah, Jake, it's not so much about the timing, but how the voters had spoken. They had delivered a split decision to the president and the Senate at the time. They elected Barack Obama in 2012. They elected me and a lot of other Republicans in 2014 as a break on the Obama agenda, most notably on his far-left judicial nominees. That's not the case now. In 2018, we had about as clear a national referendum as we could, just 1 month after the Justice Kavanaugh confirmation, in which Democrats threw everything but the kitchen sink at him. They didn't just re-elect a Republican majority, they expanded a Republican majority. That includes defeating four Democratic senators who voted against Justice Kavanaugh, reelecting the one Democratic senator who voted for him. So it was a clear mandate for a Republican Senate to continue confirming this president's outstanding judicial nominees. And that's what we're going to do with Judge Barrett next month.
It is true that that's what happened in the Senate, but in the House, the American people gave it to the Democrats by a fairly overwhelming margin. But moving on, in that same speech from March 2016, you argued that the dramatic ideological differences between Justice Scalia and President Obama's nominee made it all the more necessary to get input from voters. Take a listen.
Should Justice Scalia be replaced by a philosophically liberal justice, the implications for the rights of Americans and the direction of our nation would be profound. Because the law of the land may take such a dramatic turn, the members of this chamber must first get the input of the American people on what the direction of our country should be.
Again, that ideological difference certainly exists between the late Justice Ginsburg and Judge Barrett. It's perhaps even more of a stark difference, frankly, considering Merrick Garland was center left. So again, to apply your 2016 principles, which I'm not sure are any longer operative, shouldn't the American people get the chance to weigh in? Polls indicate that that's what the public thinks, that the whoever's elected November 3rd should pick the Supreme Court justice.
Jake, again, we go back to the split decision they had delivered. In 2014, they elected a Republican majority to help put the brakes on the Obama agenda, including his judicial nominees. Now, though, we are operating under the clear mandate we received in 2018. And, Jake, you know the old political line about the only poll that matters, the one that happens on Election Day. We had an election on this very issue in 2018, and the voters didn't just reelect a Republican majority. They expanded a Republican majority, and they defeated those Democratic senators who voted against Brett Kavanaugh. I don't think it could be any clearer than that.
It isn't any clearer than that. I'm sorry that Jake rushed on because he mentioned the House flipping to the Democrats in 2018. True, that has nothing to do with the judiciary. The House has no role, according to the Constitution, in the judiciary. None whatsoever. Tom Cotton had one more comment with Jake Tapper about what he expects from Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Cut 26.
Jake, I'm pro-life, and I've long believed that Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided, in part because it took away a vital question from the American people to decide on their own through their elected representatives, be they in Congress or their state legislatures. Now, that said, I mean, I can't speculate about hypothetical cases that may happen years from now, probably not even filed yet. But I am heartened that the president nominated Judge Barrett to the Supreme Court and that Judge Barrett explained yesterday that the late, great Justice Scalia's judicial philosophy was hers as well. She understands the judge's role is not to impose her own preferences, not to cast her wishes as the law of the land, but rather to uphold the Constitution and the law as it is written. That's exactly what I expect her to do.
I know, but I guess the question is, like, you were honest about your position on this. It's kind of this weird part of American judicial kabuki that justices come before the Senate and pretend that they've never talked about or thought about Roe v. Wade, which is obviously a very significant piece of legislation, whether you're for it or against it. Don't you think she should just be as honest as you were and just say, I oppose Roe v. Wade?
Well, Jake, the big difference between me and most of the people on the president's list is that I'm not a judge. I'm not a sitting judge. I'm not bound by the canon of judicial ethics, so I can speak my mind on the great public questions of the day. Judges obviously cannot, just like Justice Kagan and Justice Sotomayor, President Obama's picks to the Supreme Court, did not either. Now, one way we could have this conversation is if Joe Biden would release his list of potential nominees. He hasn't done that, I suspect, because...
I have to point out, Jake misspoke. I'm sure he knows that Roe v. Wade isn't legislation. Roe v. Wade is a judge-made decision that is, in fact, has been surpassed by Pennsylvania v. Casey, or Casey v. Pennsylvania. I always get them mixed up. How I think it's Casey v. Pennsylvania, is now the governing law of the land regarding other state statutes passed concerning abortion and pregnancy. I will say, look, there is no way a judge is going to comment on Roe or Casey because of something called the Ginsburg test. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, at her confirmation, invented the Ginsburg test, where she said no nominee to the highest court can comment on a case either pending or likely to come before the Supreme Court because to do so would deny the litigants in the future fairness, because the judge who would arrive on the court would have already decided the case. And that is why judicial nominees, since Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg, do not talk about specific cases, because Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg then went on to be confirmed as Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and laid down that rule. Donald Trump called Pete Hegseth on Fox News over the weekend. He said, cut 27.
I would like to. I would say we have plenty of time, just in case your next question would be, well, you know, should you wait? They wouldn't wait, number one. And importantly, we have a lot of time. You know, we also could go after. We have a tremendous amount of time. And it's been done many times before this. Well, you know, it's an election year. No, I think we're going to have it done easily before the election. I think it would be nice to do, get it out of the way. It's so important, a decision. I think it's important. We're going to try to have it done quickly and before the election. But think of all the time. So then you have from that date, you have all the way to January 20th. So, I mean, who would not do this? They say, well, why don't you wait for the next? Well, elections have consequences, and we won the election. We have the Senate. We have the presidency. So I think she'll be confirmed before and probably long before the election, relatively long before the election.
Yeah, the Republicans have to know if she isn't confirmed before the election, they're going to get wiped out. I think they will lose from north to south if she is somehow sabotaged by Democrats and Republicans allow that to happen. I don't think the leader is going to allow that to happen. I don't think Chairman Graham is going to allow that to happen. I don't think the Republicans are going to allow that to happen. Richard Blumenthal came up with a brand new. He's the senator from Connecticut. He had this to say to Wolf Blitzer on CNN, cut 28.
What are the Republicans doing that is illegal or illegitimate? Because the Constitution says the president has to nominate Supreme Court justices. The Senate has to advise and consent and confirm. So what is illegal about what the president and the Republicans are doing? You say it's illegitimate.
It is illegitimate. It's illegitimate.
Where does it say, Senator, where does it say that's illegitimate in the U.S. Constitution or in the law? Where does it say that what they're doing, the Republicans, is illegal?
Illegal, it may be not under the Constitution, under the norms and traditions and unwritten.
Illegal, it may not. It may be not. Richard Blumenthal, he's a piece of work. Don McGahn, former counsel to the president on Face the Nation, said this, cut number 29.
I disagree that it's being rushed. I think it actually, if you look at historical precedent, is following regular order. One goes back into history.
It's
one
a pretty short timeline.
Frankfurter went through 12 days start to finish. If you say, well, that's ancient history, what about modern times? John Paul Stevens, who's become a hero of the left, went through 16 days start to finish. Sandra Day O'Connor went through in 33 days start to finish, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg went through 42 days start to finish. So there is time to do it. It is not outside of the norm.
You don't think it's about the election?
Well, I certainly think that there's an imminent election, and obviously everyone's talking about the election. But I think when the president makes a nomination, he's obligated to do so under the Constitution. This has happened 29 times in our history where there's been election year nomination, and it's happened before. It'll probably happen again. And even Justice Kennedy, who many hold up as a model justice, was confirmed and appointed in an election year in 1988 when President Reagan wasn't even on the ballot. So
let's go to Eugene Scalia, son of the late Justice Scalia, Secretary of Labor, on Fox with Britt Hume, talking about Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Cut 30.
Joining me now is our Secretary of Labor, Eugene Scalia. Mr. Secretary, thank you for joining us today.
Britt, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Let me start. I know Judge Barrett going back a number of years, and I wanted you to just give us quickly how you would characterize her. What kind of person is she?
Well, she's a beloved teacher, a very respected scholar. I think she's shown herself to be a thoughtful jurist. And she's just a wonderful, warm, admirable human being as well. Mother to seven, mother to school-age children. She's a very impressive, delightful person. I think the American people, as they come to know her, are going to find her very admirable in so many ways.
Yeah, indeed, they will. And then Judge Starr, Judge Ken Starr, long a member of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, then special counsel, also Solicitor General of the United States, was asked on Fox News Sunday about Judge Barrett, cut 31.
But the president has chosen a superb nominee. We saw that yesterday. And just no one is questioning her abilities, her integrity, her temperament, and the like.
She's going to be confirmed, America. She's going to be confirmed. And that's going to be the story on this show from now until the time she is confirmed. And I'm sure Chairman Graham will get her through committee quickly. And although I would have started a week earlier than Chairman Graham, he knows his business. I will also say, when I come back, I'm going to talk about the story in the New York Times about President's taxes. It's not much of a story. The liberal left is gnawing at its leg about it. The president paid apparently $750 in 1 year or 2 years. He also paid $70 million in taxes in 2005 through 2007. I had an account look at it last night. It's what any wealthy person's tax history is, if you can believe it, which is good years and bad years, years of immense taxes and years of almost no taxes at all because you carry over losses. Your phone calls at 1-800-520-1234. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. The New York Times dropped a big story on President Trump's taxes. Allegedly, somebody leaked tax returns of the president. I don't know if it's true or not. Michael Shear is a very good reporter. I would not have buried the way his editor did the fact that the president paid $70 million in taxes in 2005, 6, and 7. I think that's a total, not an annual, but I can't really tell. Hank Adler, with whom I authored a book about the fair tax fantasy many years ago, sent me a note last night. I read the whole thing, a couple of interesting points, but surrounded by so much innuendo. When you fight your way through the actual tax return info offered, there exist few surprises. Business income offsetting business losses as to his net worth, who knows? His general focus on leisure has to have been a disaster this year. I really don't know, and I don't know that I just don't think it's what the left thinks it is. When you pay $70 million in taxes in 2005, 6, and 7, and then $750 in taxes in 2016 and 2017, I don't think anyone votes on that. I just don't. And they might. I could be wrong. I just think they think he's a rich guy, and some years he wins, and some years he offsets losses and doesn't pay taxes, and in years, those are bad years, and in good years, he pays a lot of taxes. Here's what I want you to do this year, Alliance Defending Freedom. In the wake of President Trump's nomination of ACB, we need to ask you, will you fight alongside of the people who will argue before her for religious freedom? That's the Alliance Defending Freedom. President Michael Ferris of the ADF is one of the first to praise Amy Coney Barrett's nomination, but he also warned, unfortunately, critics have wasted little time in criticizing her Catholic faith and in suggesting that her convictions disqualify her from public service. We cannot allow that to happen, as ADF's Kristen Wagoner explains.
No one should be maligned or disqualified from a position because of their religious convictions. I think it's important to bring this, you know, in terms of it applies as much to an employee who would be discriminated against by her employer or a college that would discriminate against a student and certainly a senator that would discriminate against a judge. The principle applies to all of us.
It does, but it applies with particular rigor to a senator who may not vote based upon someone's religious beliefs. It's just a constitutional prohibition. I argued a lot of Saturday and Sunday online with people about this who just don't read, apparently. And the hard left just despises Amy Coney Barrett. You must understand it's because she is a devout Catholic. And it doesn't mean that there aren't Catholics who are Democrats. There are. I've named them all the time. It just means that the hard left despises pro-life Americans who happen to be Catholic. And they're never going to change because they value the right to abortion as they understand it so greatly. I need you to help us win cases. The Alliance Defending Freedom is asking for $100 from everyone who supports their religious liberty agenda. You can go to HughHewitt.com. There's an ADF banner at the top. Make a $100 donation, or you can call 866-359-9644. One time, donation. Just this year. We've got a lot of cases before the court this year. 866-359-9644. Please help us help ADF, or go to HughHewitt.com. And hit that button at the top. Fred in Chicago, what do you think about ACB, Fred?
Good morning, Hugh. I'm so pleased. And before I get to Judge Barrett, I hope President Trump nominates Indiana native Kate Todd to replace her on the Seventh Circuit.
I think that's why her name was floated last week. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think it's going to happen in the lame duck session. Kate Todd is a wonderful deputy counsel to the White House. Her name was on the short list. Nobody quite believed it, but I think Kate Todd's going right to the Seventh Circuit.
I agree. And also, everyone should remember that in the election, after the election of 1980, Stephen Breyer was confirmed to the First Circuit after his nomination by President Carter, even after he had lost to President Reagan. So there's quite a bit of precedent for this.
Excellent.
Now, with respect to Judge Barrett, some Democrats have indicated that they will request that she commit to recuse herself from any case involving a controversy that arises after the election that makes its way to the court. And I hope that Republicans counter that there would have been far more of a basis for a request that Justice Ginsburg do so in light of her expressed animus towards President Trump. So there is no legal basis, as far as I can tell.
There isn't, Fred. It's not going to happen. Recusal is up to the individual justice in consultation with her or his colleagues, and ultimately up to them alone. And there is no basis for that. That's just political posturing. Let me get Sean in St. Pete's Beach up very quickly. Hello, Sean.
Hey, you. Good morning. How are you?
Did you know my friend Johnny Phillips?
I do not.
No, he died this year. He was a former councilman in St. Pete's Beach and a friend of mine.
Well, this is a pretty blue area of the country. So we've all got to turn out and vote, come the election.
100%. I hope you're ready to do that.
Absolutely. We got to beat Charlie Crist. That's for sure.
Well, good luck with that,
too. I think it's a great choice. I want you to, but people need to have a litmus test. So many people say that they're Roman Catholic or that they're Catholic, and they aren't.
Sean, wait a minute, Sean. I don't do that. I understand that some people want to do that, and they want to say, if you don't hold to all the doctrines of the church, you're not a Catholic. I don't do that. And I actually discourage people from doing it. I believe people's conscience is their own best judge. What they say to their priest in the confessional, what they believe in their heart, you and I cannot know. That was drilled into me through 12 years of Roman Catholic education and many fine conversations. It is up to an individual to judge for themselves whether they're in good standing for the church. I never tell people they're not Catholic. I know I can tell you what Catholic doctrine is, but I can't tell you who a Catholic is. I'll be right back, America. Hour number two of the Hugh Hewitt Show coming up. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.